When we began planning a special series for this time of year a couple of months ago, as we knew that we would be emerging more and more as the trends were going out of the COVID-19 pandemic, little did we know when we planned this series and invited Scott Sager from Lipscomb University to be with us that the start of this series would be the exact first Sunday that we would be meeting together in this way, in this auditorium. And I look at it providentially that this is going to be a springboard for great things in the future. If you were here for the Bible class that Scott taught, it's a great Bible class. Only a little bit of a problem I have with a couple of things you said in the Bible class. Number one, I don't appreciate you putting down Skyline Chili. All right, number one. That was not a good move. And I was also considering with this emergence out of COVID-19, I had plans to wear skinny jeans for the first time ever up here next week. And so you told me that old guys can't do that. So now I don't know what I'm going to wear next week. This is just a great time. Let's just soak in the moment, give thanks for each other. I'm going to have a few things to say later about that. And just thank God for Dr. Sager's presence with us this morning. And we look forward to hearing what he has to say as we talk more about coming out of exile. Scott?
Thank you, my friend. Wow, it's great to be with you guys. I came with a couple of gifts for a few of you. If you're interested, some of you are Lipscomb alums and others want to know what's happening. I have a magazine called Intersections, and I brought a few, and they're down here on the front pew if you'd like a copy of it. It just kind of tells you about spiritual life and what's happening at Lipscomb. And obviously, we would love for every young person to be a part of Lipscomb, but we also are working harder and harder to help people finish a degree if they didn't, regardless of what age they are. But I didn't come to kind of PR for Lipscomb. I came to talk to you guys about Jesus Christ and the reason that he's the hero of my story, and I hope he's the hero of your story. And we want him to be the hero of every person's story, and we want him to be the one that's lifted up throughout Cincinnati, that all people will be brought to him. And during COVID, a real blessing for me was that things did slow down. And so I had been trying to write a book for over 20 years. And in 2019, I finally got serious about it. I finished it, and then COVID hit, and so I rewrote it to kind of think through the impact of COVID. It's based upon John 11 and the story of Jesus, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And I brought 10 copies of the book. I've got a few more out in the car. But if you are somebody who experienced a loss in your family due to COVID, and you would like a free copy of this book, I'd love to give you one after church. If you just come down and see me, I'll make a copy available. It's called Jesus in Isolation, Lazarus, Viruses, and Us. And I'd love to share that with you if you'd like a copy of it. But this morning I want to talk to us about out of exile. And I'm going to take us on a journey so that hopefully we can think deeply about where are we as the people of God and what is it that we are about to step into. And how can we do that well and in a way that honors God? And so let's pray God's blessing over our time in the Word, and then we'll just jump right in. Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together. Thank you for all the energy that I sense in this church. Lord, I want to say thank you for Grady and for his long friendship. And Lord, I pray that you would anoint him with your Spirit and that you would fill him with your pleasure and your love. Lord, thank you for the elders I got to meet yesterday and their spouses and for their deep commitment to this place and for their desire to see you lifted up. And Lord, thank you for every person that I've met this morning, and thank you for a church that's vibrant and alive and back together. We are grateful to be your people, to gather in community again. And Lord, what we long for more than anything else and the thing that we missed most is knowing that where two or three are gathered in your name, you come to dwell with us. And so, Lord, we want you to be silently but profoundly present today. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless us and fill us up that we might be your people. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus, our ever-living Savior, teacher, Lord, and friend. Amen. So COVID has been tough for us. And there's a lot of things that we've experienced in COVID. And here's a few cartoons, but they're too small to see, so I blew them up. But do you remember when you first found out that there was a run on toilet paper? I mean, do you remember, I remember setting my alarm to wake up at 5:30 so I could be at Target at 6 and get some toilet paper, you know? And I remember when I went to Kroger and there was no chicken. And I was like, really? And then I went down the hand sanitizer aisle, and I've never seen an aisle so empty in a grocery store as a hand sanitizer. Well, you remember, you know, we were sanitizing everything. The other thing you might have experienced for the first time is a drive-by birthday party. Some of you experienced that? Or how about this? A virtual wedding. You know, no, we can't all attend, so we're going to watch it on the screen. Or how many of you, one of my favorite moments with my daughter was she gave me a haircut. And it probably should have taken 12 minutes to get my hair cut. 55 minutes later, we were finally finished. But it was so fun. She's in college. We sat out in the backyard, got the big mirror out of her room, leaned it up against the car, and she cut my hair, and we just giggled. And it got to the point where I was holding my fingers up like this to hold the hair, and she was cutting it. And anyway, you just, you know, there's things we won't forget. Or how many of you guys got into baking bread? My son is a bread baker now, and we're grateful for that. But, you know, COVID also created a lot of time together for us as families, didn't it? And so one of the questions was, what are the issues that created home conflict during COVID? You guys have any guesses for that? You might lean to the person next to you and say, I guarantee you one of the seven things he's about to say created conflict in the home was. And if you want to tell the person next to that, I'll give you just 15 seconds to say, I guarantee you this is on the list. So you want to share? Yeah. Okay, y'all ready? Here we go. The seven issues that created home conflict during COVID, number one, too much time together. No getaways, no hobbies. The second one was lack of social engagements. You know, there were no parties to go to, no dinners, no events. The third one is the stress of pandemic, challenges of eating at home. Did y'all notice how often you used your dishwasher in the last 420 days? We would laugh because it's like, didn't I just unload the dishwasher? It seemed like we were loading it every day. Changes to family roles with children's schedules. Being a Zoom parent. Woo! Those of you who handle that, you know, you deserve a medal. COVID quarantine disagreements. Are we going to the family for Christmas or Thanksgiving? Are we not going? How are we going to navigate that? Sharing office space. You know, how many of you guys had at least three Zoom calls going in your house at the same time? You got kids in school, and you're doing this, and they're doing that, and you're going out in the front yard trying to find service so that you can have yours. And last, financial pressures from job loss, income depletion. And so what we know is that this has been both a blessing and a challenge for us, living through COVID. And this series that Grady's beginning called Out of Exile is just realizing that for the last 420 days, we've been closed up. We've been put in isolation. We've been in quarantine. We haven't been able to be where we wanted to be, doing what we wanted to do. And so we want to think about that this morning. And I wanted to begin by helping us to think about it as a family. And then we'll think about it as the people of God. And Grady's going to build on this over the next 3 weeks. But I just wanted to begin by saying, you know, the first time that God's people went into exile, it was on a boat. And I understand there's a copy of that boat just down the road from here. But you might remember that it was Noah's Ark that was the first time that God took his people and put them into isolation, closed the door, and made them stay in confinement for a season of time. And I wanted to remind you of that, and I invited a little animal to help me to do that because I figured young people would like that if I did. So You might remember how the story goes, how, hey, there's going to be rain upon the earth, and Noah builds an ark and calls the animals, and they come from all over, and they arrive at the ark, and they enter two by two, and how long was Noah and his family upon the ark? It's been 420 days since we've gathered as the people of God. How long were they on that ark? You know, we like to say 40 days and 40 nights, but some of you are math majors, so do the math with me on this. Genesis chapter 7, 11, and 12 says that it was when Noah was 600 on the 17th day of the second month that they got on the ark. And then Genesis 8 tells us that Noah was 601 on the 17th day of the second month when they got off the ark. So does anybody want to figure out how long they were on the ark? Little word problem for you? The answer is 375 days. 375 days, they were in quarantine, they were in isolation while God put a pandemic all over the world. And so imagine what it was like to be Noah and his family on their little COVID ark. Imagine what it was like to be cooped up for that season of time. All the things that we have faced, they faced. Too much time together, no getaway or hobbies. It was just the eight of them, in-laws and parents, all living together. The lack of social engagements. There was nothing to do except take care of the animals. Stress of pandemic pressures, trying to feed everybody for 375 days. And think of all the rabbits that there were by the time they got off of this ark. And also think about all the poop scooping that got done during 375 days. The change of family roles as all the rabbits begin to come and to come and to come. Disagreements about how we're going to spend our time. Sharing office space and the pressures. But I wanted you all to realize that even as far back as Noah's Ark, that there has been times when God took his people and he put them into quarantine. He put them into isolation. And what we want to ask ourselves is, why does God do that? And what does he want us to learn from the quiet seasons, from the quarantine? One of the things I get to do for Lipscomb is I get to take 30 students on a trip to Israel, Palestine, Jordan, and Sinai every summer. And what I've noticed about this trip is that it's a 15-day trip, and we spend 7 of those days in the desert. And so I'm constantly asking students, what is it that God's people learn in the desert? What is it that God's people learn in exile? And what is it that God wants us to learn from what we've been through over these last 420 days? Because God wants us to grow through what we go through. He gives it to us for a reason. In this book, I try to point out that the Hebrew writer in chapter 8, verse 5, says that Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. There were some lessons that even Jesus could only learn by going through them. And it's the same with us. So what is it that we were to learn? You know, we've come to a place where good news is coming and finally there's a vaccine and we're thinking about new normals and we're thinking about questions about how can we do old routines in a new context. But what did I wanted us to notice is that the world will create a new normal, but for us, can it be a new creation? I mean, isn't that what really happened when Noah and his family stepped off the ark? Is that they were stepping into a new creation? It was like, you remember that Etch-a-Sketch thing where you could make something, then you'd just shake it and it would go clean again? God was shaking the world clean again and asking Noah and his family to step out into it. And so this out of exile theme that we're working through is this idea that as we're coming to the end, we certainly hope, of COVID-19, and as we are looking towards a new normal, we want to be asking the question, what is it that God wants us to do, to be, to think, as we step through the door into this new creation that God has provided to us? What are we supposed to learn from the last 420 days? What is it that he wants us to do. And I think God wants us to be intentional in thinking about what are we going to do as we step into this, quote, new normal that we hope is new creation. You see, for a lot of us who are parents or husbands, I won't say anything about wives, but we may have been like the pre-pandemic person here. We may not have really valued our time or our family. But didn't you learn over the last 400 days the importance of family? Didn't things become more valuable to us? And so we don't want to lose all those things. We want to ask the questions, what's happened in the last 420 days we don't want to lose? What is it that we've learned and discovered that we don't want to get away from? And what is it that we do want to leave behind? You see, when Noah got off the ark, he left some stuff there. He's like, that was for that season, but it's not for this one. But there were other things that they said, you know what? I don't want to lose this when we go forward. One of the things for us, really simple, but our family began eating our meals on the front porch. And that became something we did in COVID we had never done before. And so we still try to do that at least once or twice a week. It's just to go sit on the front porch as a family, eat our meal outside, tell stories, just kind of make sure that we remember that that was something that was really memorable to us during COVID. We don't want to lose. And there's probably things like that in your family too. Game nights or things that you did together and you're like, let's not lose this. What appreciations do we have that we don't want to walk away from? And so what I wanted you to see is that for each one of us as families, we've got to think about what is it that we learned? What is it that we came to value? What is it that we don't want to lose? What is it we want to take with us into this next season? Because God did some good things for us in these last 420 days. I mean, we will look back and we will be grateful for some things. We'll hope some things we never encounter again. But we'll be grateful for some things. Let's not lose those. And Grady's going to be talking about this over the next couple of weeks. But I also wanted us to notice that we also have to think as a Northeast community. What is it that God wanted us as the people of God, as a community, to learn over the last 420 days? And that's where, if you have your Bible, turn to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29 is a passage. It's interesting. It often gets used at weddings and it gets used at graduations. You know, Jeremiah 29:11. But let's take that whole chapter and let's put it in context. And let's realize that it's a conversation about the exile and the post-exile and what God is up to. And let's see what we can learn from this that can help us as we kind of introduce a series that Grady will take us deeper into in the next few weeks. First off, I want you to notice in verse 4 that God says, I carried you into exile. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all of those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now, our exile happened because of COVID-19. And we're spending a lot of time trying to figure out, did that start in a Wuhan lab? Did that start in a wet market? Where did it begin? But the real point for us is just to understand that God allowed it to happen. It happened because God is sovereign and He allowed it to happen. Now, I'm not against people figuring out where in the world it came from, but one of the things I think is kind of interesting is that if you track the Spanish flu from 1918, you know where it began? Huh? According to the book I read on it, it most likely began in Haskell, Kansas. And so it's kind of interesting that, you know, we don't know where these things begin. We just need to understand that God allowed it to happen, right? God has allowed COVID to happen. God has brought us into exile. It didn't happen without His allowing it to happen. And so what we have gone through is what God allowed us to go through. Just like in this story. I mean, imagine if you're the children of Israel and God says, I carried you into exile. And you're saying, look, the Babylonians, they burned our city. They tore down our temple. They took everything away. And you're saying that you did this? And God's saying, I did that. I allowed Babylon to do that, but it was me. I carried you into exile. What you have gone through is because God wanted us to go through it. And we have to acknowledge that a sovereign God has been in control even over the last 420 days. And so he's carried us into exile. During that time, he's wanted us to make the most of it. This passage says, hey, wherever you are, make the world better. Plant a garden. Build something. Plant a tree. Where you can, have a party. Get married. Whatever you need to do, make the most of today. And that's one of the things we also learned for a lot of us, isn't it? That even in exile, we could have good days. Now, it's frustrating on a macro level, but we could discover that, you know what? There's a lot of joy that we can still experience. And God says, just make the most of every day. Whatever it is that you find to do, do it to the glory of God. The exile is ending. Jeremiah 29, verse 10. Isn't that where we are now? This is what the Lord says. After 70 years, when the exile is completed, I will come to you and I will fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. Today is the day that we begin to embrace what this means for us. We've gone through a season. Thankfully, ours was not 70 years. Do I get an amen for that? Amen. Yeah. Ours was not 70 years. Ours was 420 days. But what we've learned is that when it was completed, God is bringing us out and he is going to fulfill his good promise. Good things are in store for us if we will be faithful to him. And so we trust God that he is ending this. And then verse 11, God is announcing that I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and to give you a future. God is wanting to say to the Northeast Church, I know what you've gone through. I know that it's ending. I know who I want you to be. And I know that if you will trust me, if you will follow me wholeheartedly, that I have a plan for you to bless you and to give you hope and to give you a future. And so what we begin to understand is that God has a plan for this church. He knows what he wants to see accomplished through us. And we have to step into that. As we step out of exile, we step into God's preferred future for us. And to do that, we have to do it God's way. And so it's a call to prayer. Look in verse 12 of Jeremiah 29. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen. You will seek me and you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. And Grady will close his series by really drilling deep on this passage. But this is a time for us to pray, God, do for us what we can't do for ourselves. Do something greater than we could do. We've got hope. We believe in you. And we want to see you do among us even more abundantly beyond what all we could think or imagine. And so it's a call to prayer. You know, it's interesting, when Noah got off the ark, what was the first thing that he did after 420 days? Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for sticking with us. Thank you, God, for being faithful. Thank you, God, for rescuing us. Thank you, God, for bringing this to completion and giving us the promise that you said you would. And isn't that where we are right now? Don't we need to be really grateful people? Thank you, God. We've made it through this. Oh, it's been hard. Oh, we've experienced a lot of loss. Oh, it hasn't been easy. But we've learned a lot. We've grown. We've got new sense of values. We know what's important. And God, thank you for what you've done. So God is gathering his people back together. This is what Jeremiah 29:12 says. He says, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from the exile, from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places I have banished you, and will bring you back to the place where I carried you into exile. I'm bringing you back. It's my timing. And I want to gather you again as the people of God. Here's something that I want you to think about this week. Please. Understand that there are people who have been part of this faith community that haven't decided if they're coming back yet or not. And they might just need a phone call or a text or something from you to say, hey, we missed you, we want you back, you're a part of this family and you matter. And so God is gathering his people back. The other thing that we're discovering, and it was one of the great things Grady told me, is, you know, we've met new people over the last 420 days that have been exposed to our church online, and let's welcome them back into our family as well. But God is gathering his people back to him, and we want to be a place that is welcoming of God's people who want to come back to him. A lot has changed in the last 420 days. We've gone through a lot as a country over the last 420 days. There are people who are now primed and ready to join the people of God, but they just need somebody to say, hey, you belong here. And so that's something that you can do. God has a plan for the Northeast Church. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Over the next 3 weeks, Grady will be talking to you guys about rebuilding community, about investing in family, and about seeking God wholeheartedly. And I can't wait to hear what he has to say with each of those messages, because God's taught us some things in our homes. God's taught us something as a community, and God really, really wants to do something powerful here if we will seek him with our whole heart. This week is your call to pray. Then when you call on me and you pray, I will listen. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. What is God showing us? What is it that God wants us to leave behind? What is it that doesn't deserve to travel with us into God's preferred future? And what is it that we want to be sure we carry with us as we move into the next phase of what God is doing at the Northeast Church? You know, one of the things that happened after the exile is found in the book of Haggai, little prophet, in chapter 2 of the book of Haggai. They came back from exile and they rebuilt the temple. And when they rebuilt the temple, Zerubbabel said, how many of you guys remember the first temple? And there were some older folks in there who raised their hand and said, yeah, we remember the first temple. And he said, how does this one compare to that one? They began to weep. Because the second temple, they thought, didn't match the first temple. And in Haggai chapter 2, God spoke to them and said, oh no, you don't get it, do you? You don't know how I view things, because this is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once again shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and the destined of all nations will come. And I will fill this temple again with glory, says the Lord. The silver is mine and the gold. The glory of the present house will be greater than the glory of the former one, says the Lord. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. God says the way you're looking at this, You think post-exile isn't going to be as good as pre-exile. And what I'm trying to tell you is post-exile is going to be far better. It's going to be far better. And the reason why is because the glory of the second house will be greater than the first one. And you know when that prophecy became true? The day that the Lord Jesus, the baby, was carried there and he met Anna and Elizabeth and was dedicated. On that day, the glory of the second temple far outweighed any glory that the first one had. And what will make us an even more dynamic church post-exile than we were pre-exile is for Jesus to be more clearly present here than he's ever been before. That we as the Northeast Church say, if there's one thing that you need to know about us, Jesus is the hero of our story. He's done everything for us, and we are 100% sold out for him. So anyway, I hope you'll join me in praying this week. God, what are you doing among us? And God, how can we be people who lift up Jesus, that the glory of this place in the days ahead will far surpass anything that's ever been done here before because of Jesus and his presence among us. I hope you'll think about that as we stand and sing this next song together.